Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday and good afternoon or good evening, as my guest is in India and it's evening for him. Whatever you are, greetings to you. Today is Friday, July the 10th, and my name is Robin Ayoub. I'm the Localization Fireside Chat host and publisher. And today we are recording episode 249 on the channel. And today's conversation is pretty interesting. We're going to be talking about CX, that's customer experience. Most companies think that they are listening to their customers, and I've worked with few. They think they are. They have dashboards, ticket queues, NPS scores. And for those of you who don't know what NPS scores is, Net Promoter Score, and I'll give you a bit of a detail on this one, a bit of a history. It was created by GE, Jack Welch, back in the days. And there was a documentary on this one. I can talk about NPS score till tomorrow if you want me to, but this is not the topic of the conversation today. However, companies also, they still get blindsided, believe it or not. Today's guest built a $180 million platform with zero outside funding on a single thesis that customers' data isn't a support function. It's a boardroom signal. And he built the AI stack to prove it. Proprietary, not open AI dependent, running across 500 plus brands in 35 plus countries, many of them in banking, telecom, where one data breach ends your career. So I want to get into what it actually takes to turn multilingual customers from noise into strategy at scale. Let's help me welcome my guest, Samir Nakar, joining me from Mumbai in India. Samir, welcome to the Localization Fireside Chat. Welcome to the show. Let's get into it.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks for the introduction. And honestly, I did not know about the NPS score and the history as much as you know. But of course, we present those reports and dashboards. I'm going to talk a lot about CX intelligence today, more than just the reports and dashboards that people know of in the CX industry. Yeah, Robin?
I am having a bit of a hard time with the audio, Samir.
Okay.
It seems to be okay now, but it seems comes in and out. But that's fine. I mean, look, we're on a live... We're on live discussion. These things happen. They're not new. We've had this before. We'll push through. That's what we do. So for the audience, Samir is the CEO and founder of a company called Connect Insights, a global SaaS platform he's built entirely without external funding, which in today's VC saturated world is either quietly radical or quietly stubborn. VCs probably don't like that. And I mean both of those compliments, by the way. This is a compliment to you and to your team, Samir. That's not obviously not a negative thing. It's absolutely a compliment. You've coined the term CX intelligence to describe what you're building. And that framing alone tells me you think that the gap between a customer experience actually what most organizations think it is. Now, before we get into all the details on what you've built, let's start with the fundamental question that everybody gets first thing on this channel as we get started in the conversation. First question first, what is your story? What got you here? Who you are as an individual, what you've done, where'd you come from, and where you are now?
Okay. I mean, my story goes back 10 to 12 years back when I started this company. I was a software developer before I started my company. And I got the opportunity of working in a finance domain, as part of my early career. Is my voice okay, Robin, or shall I switch to another Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's choppy.
Okay. Give me a minute. Let me quickly fix this and then I'll answer your question. Is that okay, or are we live here?
It's okay. You want to switch your Wi-Fi? That's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when you record these shows here. 250 episode, to be honest with you. And These things happen. I mean, this is what we do. That's how things happen when you're doing it online. And this show is not meant to be perfect. It's meant to be real. It's meant to be authentic. So when we make mistakes, I keep them, to be honest with you, because not mistakes. I mean, when things happen, this is not a mistake, but things do happen. You're working on Wi-Fi, you're working remotely. These things do happen, and we push through. The idea here is to give you a realistic view on what's going on between me and the guest, Samir, which we're recording right now. And this is how real it gets, to be honest with you. Go ahead, Samir.
Okay, Robin. So I hope my internet remains stable from here on. I'll come back to my story, you know, as you asked me how we started. So this goes about 10 to 12 years back when I started Connect Insights. It was not the very first idea that I had. I was working on a product which was altogether different to what Connect Insights is today. But analytics and dashboards and reports were part of the product that I was actually working on. From there on, this idea came of why not give the intelligence to the users when it comes to data from all possible channels. So primarily it started with social listening, where we started gathering data from all possible social media channels to start with. And as the customer demand increased, they wanted more. And eventually that made us a product which was into omni-channel, you know. So the way industry is moving, I believe in the last decade, we spent time connecting channels. And from here on, we are going to spend time connecting intelligence. And customer experience was always meant for operations. But today we see that it is a product meant for leadership. And that's where we are heading as a product. And that's where the industry is also heading as a product, as a category. And a lot to talk on in terms of AI. So, you know, Robin, happy to answer your questions. Very exciting. This sounds very exciting.
You know, I'm really excited about the platform itself, and I need to get to know it. And we have a bit of I have a lot more questions coming up, so don't worry. I'm going to dig into it a little deeper. But you know, before you even built Connect Insights, you know, the problem were, I think I was watching, and you probably were watching the same thing. Companies failed at it repeatedly, and so the insight, that customer data, that this is, you know, there's a lot of data in the, what I call the ether, in the space, either sitting in different repository of information, spreadsheets, CRMs, you name it, tons of it. So what made you think about software is the answer?
I mean, you're right. The data that comes from all these sources, right? I mean, as a brand, this is what usually happens. When a customer talks to a brand, they think they are talking to one brand, but the brand treats them as different channels, you know, because I as a customer can come on X, which is Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn. I can email you, I can chat with you, I can call you. And whenever I talk to a brand, I think that I'm talking to a one brand. But because there are so many channels through which customers talk to you, we end up at a brand side having a lot many tools. And those tools are your support desk platforms, your CRMs, your social listening tools, you know, all those help desk marketing automation tools. And they don't talk to each other. Okay, so we end up at the brand side talking to a number of channels. And we think from systems, we think from tools point of view. And that's a broken experience that the customer gets. That was a problem we actually wanted to solve. We wanted to be a one platform that ensures we pull in data from all possible channels, but more importantly, we connect. We connect with all the possible CX tag that you have in the company. So at the end of the day, even though you're using different systems, the agents get one view of the customer irrespective of the channel they come from. That was the whole idea because of which Connect Insights started.
Now, another foundational question for you. You've built a company that's about $180 million valuation right now without taking a single dollar from outside, as I said in my opening, from outside funding. To be honest with you, that's not common. I was just in San Francisco a few weeks ago. And, you know, you sit down in Silicon Valley and, you know, even at a coffee shop, there are VC people waiting around and they're listening to conversations around, you know, for that idea that is still on a napkin to put money in it. And so in your case, you decided, hey, I don't want that. And, you know, to build a SaaS platform like this, was this a principle from day one, or you got to a point where you said, I don't need anybody's help, I'm going to stay independent?
Yeah, I mean, there are pros of cons being a bootstrapped company. Of course, you cannot do a lot of things because you do not have backup money. See, when we started, we obviously wanted to get to a stage where there is a product and there are a few customers. You know, usually that's how it starts. Of course, we are not from Silicon Valley, so we do not have the luxury of meeting the VCs who can put money on a idea which is on a paper napkin. But we surely wanted a product which has some customers, has some validation, and we take it from there. That's how it started. And to support ourselves during the time when we were building the product, we were doing side projects and, you know, software services projects. So that was ensuring that we have enough money. So right from day one, it wasn't the case that we are short of a lot of money to implement our idea. So that's how it started. And gradually, when we started getting customers, I would say it was a conscious decision that let us go into multiple markets and then see where it goes. It was not a strict no-no to the VC money, but that's how it was destined for us, that, you know, we will continue to, you know, support ourselves with the money that we get from the customers. And from there on, we'll see how it goes. I think it's a journey of about 10 to 12 years now. And we have perhaps now reached to a stage where we believe that there is no external funding needed. But there were times in our journey when we did try our best to get the external money, but it did not happen. And perhaps it did not happen for maybe a good reason.
Getting funding for a company, especially at a startup age, is pretty complex. I don't know how it is in India, but here in Canada, it's pretty complex. You know, funding is dedicated to specific, I want to say, ideas, purposes, etc. And the lucky few who gets the funding, it's not open to everybody, that's for sure. And I remember when I first started my company last November, N49 Networks, anecdotally, I went around and actually I had a customer, I had a supplier, and ready to execute a contract. And it was worth a few million dollar US. And I remember all I needed the money is to bridge the gap between when the purchase order is issued by the customer to the supplier, which I was representing, and basically to bridge the gap for 30 days so I could bait from the customer. And I went looking for an operational, line of credit from a bank, all the banks in Canada. Nobody will give me a time of day, to be honest with you. nobody would give me a time of day. I couldn't believe it. I had to ditch that contract and move on from there. So your company is called Connect Insights, not Connect Analytics, not Connect CX. Why Insight? What does the word mean operationally?
Yeah, I mean, see, that was the idea, that we are going to connect with every platform out there. We are going to connect with every single channel and give you a 360-degree customer view. You asked the right question. We did think of Connect Analytics. And when I was working on the names, Connect Analytics was the first name. Connect Insights was the second. I was thinking of something else without the name Connect. And to me, Connect Analytics was the first one. I discussed that with the team of interns that I had at that time. And they said, this just doesn't go well. I think Insights is better than Analytics. And we went with Insights. So that's the story behind it. And of course, we tried the domain with the letter C. Only when we did not find C, it went on to become K. Now it's cool. K Connect. It's sounding a little cool than compared to C. So that's the honest story behind the name. But the idea was very simple, that we had to have that word connect, because we wanted to connect every possible channel and we want to connect every single possible CX stack within the organization.
Now, at what point in your product history did you realize the dashboard alone weren't enough and you wanted to do more of a... was there like a customer moment that told you that dashboards doesn't solve the problem?
No, See, we build the best of the dashboards in our platform. We build the best of the BI tools in our platform. It helped us customers create any given report with just dragging, dropping the columns, filters, and create beautiful dashboards. It has color themes, everything. It had digital command center. We still have it, and a lot of customers use it. But what happens, you know, when you consume a lot of reports and dashboard, it still doesn't tell you a comprehensive story. I have seen many leaders who say, fine, that report was great, you know, the dashboards were great. But then the question was, so what? You know, what next? And what can we do? Because we as human beings, we understand stories. You know, we don't understand numbers. So if there is a report that gives you a story, then that is how you really understand it. And of course, to be able to give a platform that has CX intelligence beyond dashboards, you need the power of AI. So while the world was moving towards AI back in 2022, we were thinking a little ahead of time in how to really create, transform our platform from a customer experience platform to a customer intelligence platform, a CX intelligence platform. And maybe 3 to 4 years is what our effort was to push it to a CX intelligence platform. Now in our platform, you can actually ask questions, get answers, get strategy reports, going to a report and a dashboard and see them. Those dashboards are always there. But more or less, we are now thinking like humans. How humans consume information, how do they like a story to be told, is how the reports are coming, you know. And it adds a great value, because so far, CX was meant for operations. CX was not meant for leadership team. Now suddenly the leadership team, the research team wants to use Connect Insights because A, it has all the information that is needed. Second, it has a very strong intelligence layer that gives them insights on what the strategies should be and, you know, what can we do going forward. So it's a very simple way of consuming our product.
Now, for the audience who don't know you and don't know Connect Insights, would you mind walking us through what Connect Insights actually does? When a brand like a major bank or a telecom activates it, what does day one look like versus 6 months from now?
There are 7 to 8 stages in which you can use Connect Insights. So to start with, let's say if there is a major telecom brand or a banking brand, retail, we work across 27 different industries. They are primarily a customer facing brand. So most B2C, D2C brands would want to use our solution. And the way they start with is they start with listening to their customers from various channels. So they connect their social media channels like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And people, when they come onto those channels and express opinions, they get that data real time. Then slowly they grow on to add emails. They connect their call channels. You know, they connect their chatbots. They also add keywords so that the public data can come from blogs, forums, news, consumer forum, review sites like Reddit, Quora, you know. So we ensure that as a brand, every single thing that has been spoken about you, anywhere on the web, anywhere on the social media, anywhere on your private channels, if you're authenticated, all that data is in one platform, Connect Insights, you know. From there on, what you do with data, there are multiple use cases. There can be a use case for your customer care team. There can be use case for your marketing team, for the PR team, for the leadership team, and so on and so forth. And the customer care team, what they'll do is they'll ensure that every query that comes from the customers anywhere, they are responding to those queries. And if the volumes are high, you need different kinds of workflows, you know, different kinds of automations so that L1 queries can be responded automatically. And while agents are responding to the queries, you need some bit of AI assist. We call that as an agent empower, so that they know what to respond, which is connected to their knowledge base, you know. And everything that you do needs to have a quality assessment. So there is a quality team who checks your responses. So it's a complete customer care 360 that you get with Connect Insights as part of the customer care module. And as part of the marketing insights module, you of course get to know, you know, what is your sentiment, how you're faring against the competition, what kind of campaigns are working for you, what is your share of voice, what different categories people talk, you know. So that's it's a very vast use case, but from day one, it is about listening to your customers, a month down the line, ensuring that you're engaging with your customers. And by month six, you're ensuring that within Connect Insights, all the platforms are connected and it is offering you an omni-channel customer experience.
So the omni-channel is very interesting. I come from the telecom sector. I was an engineer for one of the biggest telecom companies here in Canada early on in my career. And I worked for companies such as Genesis Labs, for instance, which is the famous call center omni-channel platform right now. And Greg Chankman, back in the days, the owner of Genesis. I don't want to go down the history lane, but I've met him. I went to his office. He offered me a job in San Francisco when I was working on loan from the telecom company. Now, long story short is, do you integrate with platforms such as Genesis, ServiceNow, and the rest of those platforms?
Yeah, we work very closely with Genesis, and there are many customers who use Genesis and Connect Insights together. Depending on their use case, either Connect Insights is inside Genesis or Genesis calls comes inside Connect Insights. So that option is to the customer, how they really want to use which platform as a CX hub. And we do have a lot of integrations with other CCaaS platforms. CCaaS is contact center as a service, as it is called now. And there are many players in CCaaS who use Connect Insights because that is where, when we reach out to a customer, they want omni-channel. And if there is a gap that can be filled by Genesis or can be filled by Connect Insights when we are closing the deal, that's where the integration comes into picture. And we have a lot of apps in under our app marketplace where we go ahead and connect with them. And beyond that, integrations with Salesforce, ServiceNow, so many platforms, you can just seamlessly integrate Connect Insights.
And from an integration point of view, and the audience, as soon as they hear the word integration, they feel like really cold. And the reason they feel cold, because they think integration is a nightmare. I have to involve my IT team. I got to get the API. I got to get, all these keys to allow for that configuration part that is going to drive everybody mental. I've been involved in this before. When every time we talk about integration, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to have nightmares. Did we solve that whole integration to make it a little bit more simpler?
Yeah. Now it's a matter of double click. You just click it, put the keys, and you're done. And it's working across more than hundreds of customers. Where an integration today is part of any deal, right? I mean, we wouldn't see Connect Insights as an isolated product or a siloed product. It is either integrated with your CRM or your contact center or your order management system. It's all connected. And those integrations today are simple. I mean, I know where you're getting from, because the first few integrations that we did with Connect Insights, they were definitely tough. And today it's just a matter of, just doing it with simple click.
Now, for the audience who are listening to this and they're thinking, you know what, that sounds good. I would like to explore it. Are you targeting your customers to be like at a certain size, like, large telecom companies or large banks? What do you think of this small to medium enterprise? Can they use your service? Can they use your platform?
No, of course. See, definitely there is a use case for large enterprises. But what happens usually is, we have a lot of customers who started very small. They were startups, and they went on to use our product from 20% of what it is to, let's say, 80% of what it is, right? So, in fact, in our communication, we do say this, that when we are presenting, we might show some of the largest logos that we work with, because that's what our marketing communication would be. But we also have a slide that shows you the brands who started very small. And we do have a lot of brands who are into quick commerce, who just started with 20% of our product features and then went on to use about 80%. And that's how SaaS platforms should be scalable. Just like the cloud is hyper-scalable, I believe SaaS platforms should also be hyper-scalable. So you may start small and then go on to use all the features of the product. That's how we work with. We of course love to work with enterprise brands where deals are in the range of 200K, 300K. But we also love to work with smaller brands who are in the range of 15K, 20K as well.
Right. Thanks for that explanation. I really appreciate it. For the small to medium enterprise out there, you're listening to this. That applies to you too as well, by the way, as Samir was saying. This is not specifically for larger companies. This solution applies to everybody, startup all the way up to mega companies. So highly encourage you guys to take a look at Connect Insights. But before as we continue on the conversation here, before I get into the deeper conversation, this is something on top of people's minds as they listen to our conversation together, Samir. You've built a proprietary AI stack instead of sitting on top of an OpenAI, for instance, structure or another foundational models. That's significant engineering business bet, I would say. And what specifically about the banking and telecom use case, for instance, for you that made off-the-shelf sort of LLMs unacceptable? And what did you have to build that didn't exist anywhere else?
See, of course, we give a lot of options how you really want the AI to be modeled. We have our own LLMs that you can use, or if you want to use something called as a MaaS model as a service, you can use that as well and get the best of the output. But the AI that we offer has three layers to it. We call it as AI Essentials. Second is Agent Empower, and third is the Connect Research Cloud that we offer. And to understand what AI offerings are, we have to keep it as simple as possible, because there are a lot of brands out there, a lot of SaaS products out there who say that we also offer AI, and what they do at the most is give you automated replies. You know, that's like a very baby AI. But you need to understand what AI and what are the demands in the enterprise market, and accordingly communicate well with what the AI offering is. So we have something called as an AI Essentials that does all the AI on the signal that data comes in. Second is the one that is used for agents to empower them with what kind of responses we need to give. And the third one is for the leadership team, which is more on the CX intelligence side of things. So there are different ways of achieving it. And of course, there's a lot of hard work that has gone into having your own GPUs, you know, installing the LLMs on the GPUs so that the data doesn't go outside. And it has not been queried by a third party where we don't know of. So it's very well articulated how the architecture works and what data is within the country, what data is within our cloud, and what layer of data may go if you opt for a certain kind of MaaS services. And of course, you know, there's an investment on having your own GPUs where you can host it. In addition to that, a layer of data that is saved separately. And you need to ensure that the data residency also matters. Today, we work across 35 different countries, and we have our own, you know, cloud infra in 6 different regions. So before we talk to any government entity, any banks, any telcos, these are the questions they ask us first, well before what our product is going to offer. And then those necessary certifications, there are also certifications now available for AI specific, and we make sure that we are ahead of times in terms of, you know, acquiring those compliances and certifications. So it's definitely a lot of work on the tech side of things, but a lot of work also on understanding how things work in a certain region and complying to that.
Now, one of the things I noticed about your organization, about Connect Insights, is something that you've said, that you move the conversation about CX into the boardroom. Sort of a boardroom great strategy. That's what you called it. What does that mean in practice, and what is actually different about the boardroom conversation that has your data in it versus one that doesn't?
Yeah. See, in simple terms, you know, today when we talk about boardroom intelligence and we offer demo, the customers connect with us very fast. You know, if my entire demo of Connect Insights takes an hour, the boardroom intelligence takes not more than 5 minutes for them to understand what we are really talking about. It's as simple as that. You know, let's say I'm talking to, in fact, I was in a meeting with a very large fashion brand, and I got a meeting with the CEO. They were our customers for 4 years, but because of the boardroom intelligence offering, I am sitting in front of the CEO and explaining to him how things work. And the simple question was, given all the data that we have in Connect Insights, with the brand and the competition public data, what kind of new product features or what kind of new products can we launch, you know? And the insights that came was like, wow, okay. Because we always had the best of the data in CX platforms. We had data from 30 plus channels. We have data from the entire web. But the output that was presented to them was dashboards and reports. They were never presented with an interface where they can ask simple questions and get answers. And they can ask any stupid question. He in front of me asked a question saying that let's try this out. My marketing team is presenting me a report. My PR team is presenting me a different report. And my customer care team is presenting me a different report. Give me ground realities and give me all the insights. And then a answer came with a lot of detailed insights. And then a report was created out of it, right? So this is how the board or the leaders think. And that is how they want answers. So that is how it is a report for board. Then there was one use case where someone asked that I have a meeting tomorrow with my board. Present me a report that I can show in the boardroom. Okay. And this report is way different than what your dashboards will present, because dashboards will have insights like share of voice, sentiment analysis, turnaround time reports, NPS, SLAs, but they'll not do a work of strategist, you know. And that is the work what CX Intelligence offers today with what we call as Connect Research Cloud or KRC.
Let's move a little bit on, if you don't mind, Samir, to the language side, the multilingual side, because Connect Insight supports over 500 plus brands across 35 countries, which means it's processing customer signals in many languages simultaneously. And I'm assuming because you are ingesting customer signals from, say, telecom operating in the Gulf, for instance, which they would have Arabic, English, maybe Urdu, how does your AI handle sentiment across those languages? And we all know demographics have different ways of expressing sentiments. Is the model architectural different per language, or is it more at a unified layer?
Yeah. See, today things are a little easier with the models that you have to identify sentiment and to identify language. But well before the world of AI, we built something proprietary at our level. And that proprietary, whatever AI we built back then would have an accuracy of about 80% for anything non-English. And English was very close to 95%. Today, I can fairly say that the sentiment for English is 100%. And for anything which is non-English, which is Arabic, Spanish, Portuguese, let's say, we still have a very high accuracy of 90 to 95%. But those models that you have today make it life much, much easier compared to what it was earlier. It was all NLP, natural language processing earlier. It is now AI that powers the sentiment analysis. But that's actually one of the very smaller puzzles to solve in terms of accuracy on sentiment. There are a lot more things beyond that in terms of understanding the intent, in terms of understanding what different categories people are talking about, to understand what is the severity of the issue and what different aspects that they talk. So there's a lot more to the sentiment than what understanding, making a guess of from which region it might have come, even though you do not have a lot of signals, to understand the persona of the person who is talking. Okay. So these are the signals that, because just one tweet or one post cannot give you that indication. So you really have to make use of all the possible signals that you can have from that one post, and based on that, work on these insights. So every data, every signal, every single data that we ingest in our platform goes through those AI essentials, AI models, and then tags different various signals to it. Sentiment is one of them. And a language, of course, plays a major role, and not just language, the different dialects. If you talk about Arabic, there are different ways people speak Arabic in different parts of the Middle East. So we do have a lot of customers in that region. So we have to be fairly accurate in terms of what we provide. I think if you're in 2026, life is much more easier because of the AI models. back then the NLP wasn't so accurate as the AI is right
now. So I don't know if you knew this about me, but in my past 30 years in the industry, in the language industry, the hardest thing for me was, to explain to technology teams, it wasn't just, is that language isn't just translation, right? So people think that language is just translated. Well, it carries more than that. Cultural weight, power dynamics, complaint norms. You know, some people complain about things in different norms around the world, and they, that's their cultural rights to do that. I mean, you can't force everybody into one single form of complaining. They complain in their own way. And, that's a completely different, it shifts from market to market, right? So when an AI, and I had the experience with that yesterday, I had an issue with my phone. One of the telecom companies, I won't name anybody because I don't want to embarrass it. I had an issue with my cell phone yesterday, and I'm on the phone trying to get a hold of a tech person. And they put me through an AI filtration process or queuing process. Oh my God, it was so frustrating. I almost wanted to throw the phone in the lake. I couldn't take it anymore. So when an AI misreads signals, generally customer signals, it creates frustration. So how do you architect against
that? What you're talking about is a voice bot. And I think with the voice, they still haven't reached the stage where you have reached with text. So text is still simpler. So we are not getting into the complex domain of using AI on the voice. But the way it works on text, I think the models are really far more accurate today than compared to, and when it comes to the end customer, we still encourage using AI so that we empower the agents and not give an AI reply directly to the end customer. Okay. Unless it is something which is very specific to a certain information. For example, a car insurance brand wants to reply to the queries that are related to some policies or as we call it as KYCs, right? Know your customer. So if those kind of replies can be handled by the AI, fair enough. If you want an information where you want to pull out a data from CRM, get the accurate information, look at the past history of the customer, then throw all that information to your agent before you reply, So if that agent earlier would take 5 iterations to solve a query, now can do it in the first reply itself, because he has got all the connected information, because you're connected with all your platforms. That's where AI is far more powerful than responding directly to your customers. So you have to really nicely define what are your L1 queries and accordingly do it. So yes, with text, it is far more easier than voice, I would still say.
And how do you deal that with an omnichannel? Like you mentioned omnichannel earlier, which includes everybody. I mean, if you're talking to Genesys, or you're integrating with Genesys, probably integrating with voice, text, bots, chat bots, everything. So how do you deal with voice on their side or no?
So we don't deal with voice on their side, but what we do is, let's say if a call comes and if you are talking omnichannel and by some ways you have also identified that user with his unique ID. So this won't happen for the first time, but for the second time, when you all have the information of a mobile number or email ID, you then connect all the conversations to that user. Okay, so when you pick up a call, you have the history of his non-voice channels, which is coming from connected sites, and the history from the voice channels so as to respond to that customer. You get an AI summary, of that person exactly. We know this person for last 2 years, and these are the queries that have come in the past. So that AI summary really helps. So in that case, if a contact center person is talking to someone on the phone, he has a context of what has happened on the non-voice channels, which is powered by our platform. And the other way around, if it is a non-voice query, which is in our platform, we also have the context of what has happened on the calls, different kind of queries that this person has raised before. Could be credit card related, if it is a banking system, could be related to loan. So I have some context before I'm actually responding to this customer, and then that agent empower pops up. You can call it as an AI assist, co-pilot, that really helps you with the right kind of information that you can share with this person, which is again then powered by your knowledge base. Yeah, so that's the whole story of how omnichannel works now in large.
So I want to ask a double question here on AI specifically. So every one of your customers, you can assume they have their own AI stack running, right? So banks, telecom company, they've got everybody. And most likely, they will have several of them. But the predominant one they are using right now, according to what I'm seeing, is Copilot. Because it comes part of that entire Azure deployment or internal Microsoft deployment, whatever it is. In an AI governance terms, for instance, that get used a lot, you know, people throw this around quite a bit, especially in the banking sector, where governance of AI, you mentioned it earlier, like you need to regulate how AI is being used, what's happening to my data. I hear several terms. One of them is data traceability. So am I able to trace where my data is going? Can I audit where that's going as well? So in your opinion, what does that look like actually from Connect Insights? And how does a client organization that is accountable for their output, make sure that your platform is on board with that? So if a CIO, for instance, is evaluating your platform in their network, how does that work?
Yeah. I mean, see, that's how it starts these days, you know. If you're talking to a large bank or a telecom brand or a government entity, they'll first look at how the AI works. And in fact, if they're not totally ready with how the data is going to be handled by AI, then they'll tell you that, okay, fine, we want these features of your product, but we do not want the high-end AI layer, if at all the data is not going to be the data is not using our LLMs. Okay, so there is something, a concept called as a BYOM, bring your own models, and then you connect with those models, and that's where you throw
it. Model quite often, Samir, but I don't know. I didn't think it works. Does it work?
No, I was coming to that, you know. So you do have that option of BYOM, but then what happens is our products are built for a certain use case, you know, whereas those models are not built for those specific use case. So you really have to see the quality of output that you get when you use our own models, whereas you use the models that were built for certain other purposes. And that's where you work on this. Now, given the fact that we have let's talk about our Copilot, which is Agent Empower, okay? It connects with your knowledge base, okay? Then uses its own LLM to give you a perfect output, right? In this case, there is actually no need for your own inbuilt Copilot models to work along with our feature, because here you're ensuring that the data resides within the cloud and within the data residency norms. You get that feature and you're not actually doing anything against the compliance, okay? But the same quality, you will not get it with your own models because they were not trained for this purpose. You know, that's the trade-off that you will have to see. And there is a concept of BYOM, but I'm not a big fan of it. I'm a believer that as long as you are within the guardrails of the compliance, then go with what this SaaS platform is offering. Check everything as far as the governance is concerned, but don't use the models that were not meant for a certain purpose.
Now, let's move a little bit to perhaps a bigger picture kind of a discussion. You're not just building a product. You're trying to establish a CX intelligence as a recognized category. What does it take to get an industry to accept a new vocabulary? And how far along are you in that fight?
Yeah, I mean, this definitely is a new category, but KRC is not ending at CX intelligence. We are doing a lot more to that. We are actually calling it as a front office operating system, because the way we foresee what is going to happen in the world is every CX platform or every SaaS platform is going to come up with something called as a MCP, Model Context Protocol. MCPs should really connect with each other. That's where we are heading, from a world where we built connectors on the top of APIs. Now we are going to build connectors on top of MCPs. Okay. So CX intelligence layer is going to go beyond just querying your product to querying actually the entire stack that you have in your organization. So yes, we are creating a category called as CX intelligence, but there is far more a bigger picture of a front office operating system, which we foresee will come at somewhere around 2027, maybe a year down from now. But till then, it is the CX intelligence story that we are doing. And now it's not an easy to have a new category and just, you know, publish it on your website, send some newsletter and the world will know about it. You actually have to do a lot of educational stuff on ground. So we do this. We connect with a few set of our customers wherever we are present, in the regions where we are present, like Asia, Southeast Asia, India, Middle East, and Africa, and parts of LATAM and UK, where we are really strong. We are actually doing some events on ground to educate our own customers and new prospects where the world is heading. It's never a product launch. It's about explaining to the audience where this industry is heading. And it is now moving towards the world of CX intelligence, which is not limited only to your product, but rather connecting all the entire SaaS stack that you have in your organization.
You know, it's an interesting conversation we're having right now, because it's on everybody's mind, right? Customer retention, revenue increase, stopping the drain of customers sometimes in those companies where they're seeing a customer leaving them. And the biggest signals that we're missing right now are these type of signals that we're talking about right now, Samir, because I've been in those boardroom discussion where we're talking about, well, why did this customer leave us? And let's put it in practical term, right? Why did this customer leave us? And, you know, you hear a bunch of things, but the problem didn't just happen right now when the customer left you. You've seen signals, you know, 6 months in advance or a year in advance. Customer has expressed dissatisfaction in a very subtle, very polite, very nuanced way of expressing their dissatisfaction. People ignored the signal. And then it comes to a point, customer left us. Now what? Well, where have you been? For the past year, probably the customer has expressed their dissatisfaction in those subtle, nuanced customers. I'm going to give you an example, for instance. About, you know, I had one large customer who really put us in a meeting 3 years earlier and expressed dissatisfaction in the way we are handling their business. Now, we, not just me, the entire team that was with me was witnessing the conversation and went away, and they didn't say anything. 3 years later, customer puts an RFP out and we lose the customer. So why did that happen? We listened to the customer. In this case, it was pretty obvious. We listened to the customer, we documented the problem, but we didn't do anything about it. Now, with your tool, you are giving people, I think, and I'm just paraphrasing here, you are giving people some sort of a radar screen that you're telling them, look, there's something coming toward you. You might have better do something about it, or you are going to lose the customer. And the biggest way we talk about growth and scaling, I run N49 networks, which is, you know, that's what we talk about. I'm a fractional CRO that helps customer grow their businesses. The one way to grow the customer business or to grow company's business, to stop the leakage of your customers, stop your customers from running away, and then build upon that. And once we build upon that, then we start building customers, bigger customers, more customers, and scaling up your business. I love the idea of a radar. You know, you've given them the dashboard. You say, in this area, you're doing well. In this area, you're doing bad. Pay attention to this area. Did I phrase it correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so difficult to acquire a new customer. You know, you rather ensure that there are no leakages and you're not losing any customer. And there are signals before the customer leave you. I mean, you obviously have a lot of signals. You need to act on those signals also. And you're right, you know, up until you're getting the reasons why there is a problem, but there was no solution. You know, no one was suggesting you what you can do, you know, but today's power of AI can actually help you with that. And that's the reason we built this CX intelligence layer, because you can ask questions like, why are customers leaving us this week? And you could be a large B2C brand and, you know, it's okay, fine. You can lose a certain set of customers. But for a large B2B brand, you'd obviously not be, you know, able to lose customers. In that case, even silence is a signal, you know. Silence is a signal that this customer has
100%. Silence is a huge signal.
Yeah. Okay, so you and a human eye cannot catch it. You know, you can look at various reports, dashboards, and a human eye cannot catch it, but the AI can do it. And that's where these questions matter a lot. That is there anything that is making our customers unhappy? Okay. And it can correlate with your turnaround times, the kind of quality response that you gave, and what was the follow-up response on top of it. Or if you're a large B2C brand, then was there a PR crisis that happened, you know, that probably resulted to something where you're losing your customers? You can go as deep as possible and ask any question which is not only related to churn, but beyond that, what you can do more as a brand. And then you need to sometimes have alert signals also, you know, that proactively AI gives you those signals, whether you get those notifications on a Slack, email, whatever, or your mobile phone just beeps and tells you that there is something that you need to take care of. You have to be alerted based on what is happening, because as we talk, like, you know, let's say you and me are talking, and let's say we were CEOs of some large brands, there is something happening in the background. Okay, we need to be alerted. We need to be told that something needs your attention, and probably you can take actions based on that.
In my advisory work, and I advise people on growing their business and try to fix their go-to-market strategy and overall attempt to scale up their business, I see consistent pattern, to be honest with you. The teams closest to the multilingual customer feedback, localization, regional support in market teams rarely have a seat at the strategy table. Does that match what you're seeing on your inside of your organization? Does Connect change insights, change the dynamics, for instance? Instead of the information being available to the few, now it's available to everybody. Does it democratize the disbursement of the picture where our customers are emotion or our customers' signals are at?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the right word. You know, it has definitely democratized the way the board meetings will happen now, because from reporting metrics like what is the CSAT and NPS and SLAs, you're actually now giving board level insights, you know, because numbers don't stick. What is an NPS score of 4.9 tell me? Rather, I need to know that, this was one of the influencer who spoke negatively about our brand, and it actually resulted into so many reposts, and they are not happy with our new product launch, and we have definitely failed with what has happened, and these are the corrective measures that we need to take. You know, this is the level of insight that I want from my customer care team, and not whether we have met our SLAs and whether our NPS score is high. Okay, so definitely now there is a room in the boardroom for the CX head, not for every single agent out there, but for the CX head to present reports that are beyond the metrics, beyond simple numbers.
Now, if somebody's listening to us right now and happen to be a mid-sized company with a global ambition, let's say they want to go tomorrow and they want to say to you, look, we want to get into 10 markets, but we have some budget constraints. No dedicated CX intelligence team, etc. What is the one thing you tell them to start measuring perhaps today that they are probably not measuring right now?
Yeah, it really depends on what the use cases are. You know, first, it is all about listening to your customers, at least connect those channels. Sharing comes at a much later stage for such brands, but at a very basic level, they can obviously look at how fast they are responding, whether they're meeting their SLAs, turnaround time reports, what different product aspects people are talking about, if they are willing to connect the competitors' public data, understand what they are doing right, what we are doing, what kind of posts we are doing. So it really depends on the use cases. If things are in place as far as their channels are concerned, then Connect Insights can do right from just listening to, you know, every single metric you want to measure, or even go beyond and have CX intelligence. But it is all about having those channels in place. You need to have the support channels, You need to have your social media channels connected. If you have a contact center, that should be connected. And from there on, you can really start very slow, low, and then go on to use it as a very seasoned CX platform would use it.
Now, as we come close to the wrapping up of our conversation, to the end of our conversation, I've got a few more questions before we finish, if you don't mind, Samir. What is the one belief about AI and customer data that most people in your space hold that you think is just wrong?
Okay. They think of AI for very basic stuff, and it's thinking very small, you know, which is AI to be used for automation, or AI to be used to reduce cost on agents. You know, that's I think that is very small thinking. AI can do a lot more. We spoke of all that right today in our conversation. That is where a lot of education is needed. AI is not there to replace agents. That's a very small thing. Yes, it does to a certain extent, but you can do a lot more with AI.
You know, and I agree with you, because I run a networking event that takes place on Friday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's called the AI Exchange, and your team are welcome to attend if that's a venue that you would like to be part of. What I was talking about 2 weeks ago is something called the moonshot, meaning that we have to increase broaden our thinking when it comes to AI, and stop thinking about it in terms of my little tiny assistant that just compose emails and I drafts email to me and I review the email and I send it to my customer.
Which is,
you can do that, but it's built for much more than that. And we have to think about it in a bigger context than just doing small, meaningful sort of a processes type of thing. So I do agree with you. We have to broaden our thinking.
Yeah. And there are a lot of, we must have seen this for last, say, 6 months or so, where there were a lot of startups which were orchestrating the AI stuff. And then you got all the Claude co-work and, you know, skills that can actually do it without those tools. So within this ecosystem, anybody who is building something which is just connecting certain platforms and building an AI layer on top of it, I don't think that's going to work. And it's a very, small stuff that AI can.
Now, if you had to leave the audience with one thing from today's conversation, if you don't mind, Samir, one shift in how they think about multilingual customer signals, how should they think about it from your perspective? Just a thought or an advice for them?
See, when your customers talk to you, there are a lot of signals in it, you know, and when you talk about multilingual, that's fine. You know, we work in different markets where people speak in different languages and, you know, different scripts. That is taken care of. Once you ensure that you're listening to your customers, then you can do a lot more, because that's where the honest opinions are coming. You know, you don't really have to do any surveys, you know, send out complex surveys and get insights. This, without sending out surveys, you're getting all the information that you need to know about your brand, your competition, your industry. All you need to have are intelligent tools which will help you understand what these conversations are, what they mean. Because if the volumes are high, you're not going to see, you know, listen to every single conversation. But you need signals to understand what are you as a brand, how are you perceived, what different aspects people talk, what are your campaigns, whether the campaigns are working or not. And whether people are responding to whatever new you're launching, it's all out there with the best of the intelligent tools that you can use, and Connect Insights is one of them. But yeah, listening is just the start. There's a lot more to what you can do, whether that information is coming to you on voice, non-voice, English, non-English.
Samir, where can people find you and learn more about Connect Insights and how to reach you directly?
Yeah, I mean, I'm available there on LinkedIn. My name is Samir Narkar. Our website is connectinsights.com, starts with K, and all our Twitter handle is, again, Connect Insights. And if you just search for Connect Insights or Samir Narkar, you'll get us. Yeah,
and for the audience, if you're looking for Samir and you can't find him, connect with me. I think Samir and I are connected on LinkedIn. We are, aren't we? I sent you a connection request. If we're not, we'll fix that by the end of the day today. We'll get connected. But if, regardless, if we're connected on LinkedIn or not, if one of the audience is interested in speaking to Samir or connecting with him, Just send me a note and I'll do an introduction for you. That's what I'm here for. So happy to make the introduction. Samir, what do you think of this conversation? Did I leave anything out? Would you like to add anything?
Well, we can go on and on with the experience that obviously 30 years of experience in customer experience, Robin. I'd love to chat more with you. But I think it was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
No, great to have you on the show and happy to talk about customer experience for a long time. I mean, I've been at it for many years. So if anything I can help help you in the future, I'll be glad to do that. And feel free to reach out to me. You have my contact information. And for everybody else who's listening to this conversation today, look, I want to thank you so much for joining me on this journey of recording episode 249 with my esteemed guest, Samir Nakari, on this conversation. I really appreciate your time. If you are coming in on YouTube, thanks for watching us. If you're listening to us on the podcast channels, thanks for listening in. And if you're reading our blog post where I summarize all this information into a consumable small chunks of data, small chunks of content, thanks for reading robinayoub.blog, where you can find a summary of this conversation. The other thing too is if you are interested, we have a small app now that you can go on your mobile app.l10nfiresidechat.com. And for those of you who don't know what L10N means, that's localization. If you take the word localization and you put 10 letters in it, the last word is N. So l10nfiresidechat.com. And you can see the app there where you can see all of our content. You don't have to really fetch for it, look for it. It's all in one place. You can see the videos, you can search, you can listen to the audio, or you can read the blog post. It's up to you. And you can see a bit of an announcement. We send a few announcements through the app as well. So feel free to download the app. It's a good place to be to see all of our content. And so far, we've got about 5,000 videos on YouTube. And we've got, I don't know how many on audio now and how many blog posts. So lots of content out there. Thanks for checking us out. I really appreciate it. And from me and my guest, I want to thank you so much for listening into the podcast. And I will see you guys at the next episode. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the weekend.